This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين My beloved brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله رب العالمين Always and forever we begin by praising and thanking Allah نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله We testify there is none worthy of worship besides Allah سبحانه وتعالى And we send our love and our greetings, our salutations to beloved Nabi Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم To his pious and his pure family, to his companions and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time May Allah bless us to be amongst them. Ameen. Walhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, we are on part four on the framework of being a good person. We mentioned the list that Allah had given us in Surah Al-Furqan, the list that Allah had given us in Surah Al-Ma'arij. And then we started last week on a bit of advice where the pious Luqman alayhi salam, this man that Allah mentions in the Quran as a man of great wisdom, a man of great understanding, he's giving advice to his son. And on a very special occasion, he's giving his son profound advice. And as I mentioned last week, this man must have been a great man to be mentioned by name in the Quran. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is not mentioned by name in the Quran. Only one sahabi is mentioned by name in the Quran. Luqman is mentioned by name. Allah names a surah after him. So he must have been a truly pious man. Yet Allah does not speak anything about his ibadah, his tahajjud. Allah takes out. This was what he had done in terms of sharing information and giving a talk to his son. And I was watching this show, and I hope, I don't know if any of you have watched it, Chasing the Sun, about the Booker when they won the World Cup now in the second IU. And I know there's a lot of All Black fans here. But what came out from there, which is very interesting, how many of them are raised not by their fathers or their mothers. South Africa is one of the countries, the highest in the world, where people don't have good father figures. One of the reasons of our social breakdown. And here we have, Allah wants to take this moment out of Luqman's life and saying, here's a dad speaking to his son about life lessons. I want to tell you, my son, what is going to be success in this life? You might be a doctor, a lawyer, a mechanic, whatever it is. Those are all good and fine. But my boy, this is what you need to do. And he began by saying, my son, your job, my job is we should avoid shirk and worship Allah alone. If we die on iman and tawheed, alhamdulillah, you've made it. That's life. That's the purpose of life. That's how you need to pass this exam. And so the first thing is to have Allah as part of your life, to worship Him. Not to commit shirk, because the worst of all things is shirk. And then before Allah goes on to the next point, so Allah almost breaks Luqman's speech. And then Allah says, Luqman isn't telling you, I'm telling you, you need to be good to your parents. You need to be good to your parents. And Allah mentions here how our mothers struggled in pain to bear us, to carry us. How our fathers struggled to raise us. And one of the, if you look at the list of priorities, Allah says, I am your priority. And the next major priority is your mom and your dad. And your mom, of course, a degree above your dad. Very famously, a man comes to the Sahaba. He comes to Hajj and he's carrying his mom on his back. He's performing Hajj tawaf with her on his back and he's jamarat with her on her back. And he says to the companions, have I now paid my debt to my mom? My mom carried me and I've carried her for more than 9 months. She's crippled. And the Sahabi says, no, you might have carried her for longer. You might be feeding her like she fed you. But when she did it, she did that out of love. You doing it out of obligation. You doing it out of, I must do it again for mom. Mom doesn't expect an award for caring for you, carrying you, feeding you. She enjoys it. She loves. She does it out of love. And that is the difference between, you know, the heavens and the earth. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives a very interesting point here. That I've said that you worship me alone and you must obey your parents. But then Allah raises a point. And what if wa in jahadaka, if your parents make jihad upon you to commit shirk? There's now a conflict. How do I obey my mom and dad if they disobey Allah? So Allah says in that situation, you disobey them with respect. You don't follow what they are saying, but you sahibahum, you be their companion in goodness. And so maybe Alhamdulillah, we don't have a situation, may Allah make it easy for you if anyone is in that situation, but we don't have our mom and dad trying to cause us to commit sin. They always encourage us to do good. But it might be that mom and dad has an opinion with finance that's not correct. Or with parenting, that's a classic. Mom and dad has a view, this is how you parent. And they may not be right. How do we disagree? How do we disagree with our parents? Allah says that you disagree with them with the utmost respect, with the utmost kindness, and you sahibun fi dunya ma'rufa, and that you accompany them with the best of character and conduct. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds you and me, and follow the path of those who turn to Allah in the end, and to me is your return. All of you are going back to Allah. So Allah took a break in Luqman's speech to say, remember your parents. After Allah, remember your parents. Now back to Luqman. Now Luqman says, Ya Bunayya. And again, we said, this term, Ya Bunayya, is a beautiful term of endearment. He's saying, my boy, my wonderful boy, I love you. It's coming from a place of love. I'm giving you advice because I love you. I'm not trying to break you down. He says, إِنَّهَا إِنْتَكَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ فَتَكُونَ فِي صَخْرَةٍ. He says, oh my son, oh my dear son, verily, if there be a small little seed or grain, and it were hidden under a rock, and or it were be floating in the sky, or deep in the earth, أو في السماء, أو في الأرض, if a tiny little atom or grain was out there, hidden, يَأْتِ بِهَا اللَّهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَطِيفٌ خَبِيرٌ. Allah will bring it forth. Allah is aware of it. Allah is most close. Now, this one of the another has so much beauty in this. One of the names of Allah is Al-Latif. Al-Latif means the most gentle. Lutf is gentle. And it also means to be the one who is most subtle. And Allah usually brings lutf with his knowledge. Like in Surah Tabarak, وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفٌ خَبِيرٌ لَطِيفٌ لَطِيفٌ خَبِيرٌ. Allah brings the two together. Khabir is the one who knows all your secrets. But Allah says he's gentle. Why would he combine that too? Because subhanAllah, if we knew the secrets of each other, what would be our perception of one another? How would we deal with you if I know, oh, that's who you really are behind the scenes. That's what you really watch at night. How do I deal with you? Allah knows exactly what you and I do, but he still deals with us very kindly, very gently. Our perception sometimes of Allah is this policeman, and he's just waiting for you to make a mistake. Rather, Allah is watching continuously and sees how we make mistakes, and then he forgives us and opens the doors. So he's saying, oh my son, you are Allah is wherever you are, Allah is going to see you. Whatever you do and say, Allah is with you. And in this way, sometimes when we talk about Allah sees you, we usually do it in a way of scaring. But it's supposed to be, when we talk to our kids, it should be something good. My boy, I might not be here forever. I won't be here forever. But you're never alone. Allah sees you. Allah is going to be with you. You might find yourself alone in that boardroom or in your marriage or wherever it is. You're not alone. Allah knows what's going on in your life. You might be suffering or struggling with something that no one else understands. Allah is Latiful Khabir. He is the one that is aware and He is most kind. Ya Bunay, now he says, he reminds, so Luqman reminds his son, Allah is your companion, Allah is with you at all times. He sees what you're doing. So be aware of Allah. Then he says, Ya Bunay, my dear son, Aqim al-Salah, Subhanallah. Surah Furqan, Surah Mu'minun began. The believers are those who make salah. Those successful are the ones who make salah. Luqman is again saying to his son, my son, the first thing I want to tell you, make your salah on time. Be punctual on your salah. It doesn't matter whatever else comes in your life, what meetings you have, what deals you need to do, what your friends want, make your salah on time. So maybe your kids and our kids get to a certain level where they want independence, they want to go out, and we have to give them that independence. We should tell them, be safe, go out, but make your salah on time. Make your salah on time. Where are you going to make maghrib? You're going to leave now, asr time, you're going to come back isha. Where are you going to make maghrib? Where are you going to make isha? Make sure you make salah on time. Have all the fun you want. Play the whole night your games and Fortnite, whatever it is. But just make salah, just make sure you make salah on time. Aqim al-salah, wa'mur bil-ma'roof, wanha anil munkar. Then he says, if you perform salah, and perhaps Luqman's son is at an age where he's still young. He's not yet an alim, a sheikh, a maulana. He's not running a family. Clearly, his son is not married. So he's saying, your job really, my boy, is to just make salah. Before you are married, and our kids in school perhaps, in primary school, in high school, at varsity, really the only obligation you have, Just perform your salah. That is the most important thing. Perform your salah. وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَانْهَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And then always be on the side of what is right and forbid what is evil. And mashallah, we're seeing across the world now on the front lines of talking out against oppression, on the front lines of those protesting genocide, are young people at universities. If we look at the news, we don't have to become a Mawlana Sheikh to be the one that calls for being for righteousness. You don't have to be. You don't have to have PhDs and degrees before you can call to what is good. Calling to what is good is, I need to be on the side of goodness. When I see two groups fighting, there's the bully on the one side, I stand up for the little guy. Say, no, this is wrong. When we see these papers on the floor, you know what? I'm on the side of ma'roof. On what is ma'roof, I pick it up. Also the word, and command what is enjoined, encourage, be on the side of what is ma'roof. Ma'roof means what is known to be good. Everybody knows what is right and what is wrong to a certain degree of just on common human decency. He's saying, my boy, always be on the side of those who are good. You know who are the troublemakers in the class and those who are the people that are working hard. Be on the side of, in your whole life and throughout our lives, we transition. In school, we know who are the guys who are good and those guys who are not so good, the naughty ones. We go to varsity, we know the guys who are committing mischief and those who are doing good work. In the boardroom, subhanAllah. You know, it's a place, subhanAllah, who's doing good there, I don't know. But anyway, you know who's doing good and who's not doing good. Be on the side of righteousness. وَانْهَا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. So being good and doing right on your side, that is fine. But now a step above that. So the first thing is you make salah, take care of yourself. The next step is you encourage good through your actions. Before you tell anybody, you must do this and you must do that, I do good and I encourage others through my example to do good as well. But then I have to stand up against the bully. I have to speak out against what is wrong. I can't just do good and then I pick up the litter, but then the next guy dumps everything on the floor. I must say, brother, this is not okay. And so now this is, and he's saying, look, he's saying, my boy, as you progress in life, if Allah has given you the tawfiq to make salah, now you need to go a step further. And if you are on the side of goodness, of righteousness, you are a good person to the best of your ability, then part of being a good person, a good citizen, is you must stand up against what is wrong. And perhaps this is where a lot of us, or a lot of those, mashallah, good people here, that is where we fail. Well-known statement, it is enough for evil to prevail when good people do nothing. We don't need evil people to... Evil people succeed not because they are so smart and clever. It's because we as good people don't stand out and respond against it. We see it in politics. We see it in economics. And so it requires a level of courage to speak out against what is wrong in the world. To speak out against the problems in your community. To speak out what's wrong in your family. And so he says, you need to get to a point. And maybe he's talking to him. Maybe he said to dad, what must I study? Must I be a doctor, a lawyer, IT, whatever? He says, my boy, it doesn't matter what you study. So long as you make your salah, you worship Allah. And whatever you do is for the betterment of the world. You're doing ma'roof. And you are going to be a champion against evil. As a lawyer, as a doctor, whatever it is, as a mechanic, you will stand for what is good. And you will stand against evil. وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ. And if you do that, then you must have patience. He's almost telling him, it's not going to be an easy road. To be a good person in the world, to stand up against oppression, to stand up for the small guy, is not going to be easy. You know, it is easier just to focus on your own life. Just to Netflix and chill, that's the easy road. But to actually stand up and do something and speak out, now it's different. وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ إِنَّ ذَلَكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. And so now you need to persevere. You're going to get criticized. You're going to get knocked. You're going to get pushed around. But you can't give up. You have to be an agent of change and goodness. And so now you need to have sabr in times of difficulty, especially when you have to be patient on a principle. Being patient when you're sick, okay, you are patient, there's nothing more you can do. When you are poor, okay, you're patient for yourself. But to be patient on a principle that you can let go. When life is difficult because I'm holding on to this, if I just let go, I just resigned my position, I just stopped being part of the masjid committee, then you know my Saturdays are free. That's min azmi al-umur. He's saying this is of the most difficult of all things to achieve. In fact, the five greatest Anbiya, the five greatest of the Anbiya. What are they called? They're called the Ulul Azm, the five who persevered the most. So this word he's saying to his son, the hardest thing you can do is to be a good man, standing up for what is right, standing against evil, and being patient upon that, dealing with what is thrown at you. If you achieve that, he says the job is not done. The job is not done, because now Shaitan has a plan for you in that. And he has a plan for you that you might have reached a certain level of success, but he can bring you down very quickly. You see, the Shaitan, he knows that for most people, he wins them over through their desires. I like that, so I eat that, I look at that. I'm not supposed to, but my desires, this is Sheikh, I'm weak. You know, okay, we are all human. That's Shaitan's plan for everybody. For the guy who's able to master his desires, he's able to stand on what is good, then the Shaitan says, you just focus on your tahajjud, brother. Don't worry about the rest of the masjid. Yeah, they're fighting, but just you focus on yourself. Now, he wants you to be complacent on your own ibadah. You have to go a step further and say, no, I can't just focus on myself. I'm part of a community. I need to help and encourage and stand up. I can't care only about my kids and someone else's children are dying and being bombed. I need to stand up against what is wrong. So now, okay, I stand up. And then he throws at you hardships, criticisms, takes your time, becomes exhausting, frustrating, but you persevere. Now Shaitan has another plan for you, for that person. Ah, now you go to bed and you think, ah, mashallah, I made my tahajjud. My family is making salah. I just gave that beautiful bayan. People are listening to me. There's a sense of pride that enters the heart. And so he says, my son, وَلَا تُسَعِّرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلُّ مُخْتَارٍ فَخُورٍ Allah says that Luqman is saying to his son, that if after all of this, after all your success, walhamdulillah, and all the achievements, if you've gone through life, you see some people, they fall on this side or that side, but you've gone through life, you've ascended, you have a position, a maqam amongst people, don't for one moment think you are better. Don't for one moment let superiority into your heart. For indeed, that was what happened to Shaitan. And turn not your cheek away from people in false pride. The worst pride is not the pride of the guy who's driving up and down when revving his Ferrari. That's a type of pride, but that's one. Or the person who's proud in their beauty. The most disgusting pride to Allah is the pride of Iman. Oh, now look at you. SubhanAllah, look how high my thobe is above my ankles. All of you in Jahannam. All these thobes are in Jahannam. That is the worst kind of pride. Waking up at night and feeling, MashaAllah, I'm making tahajjud. All these people are sleeping. Where are these people? I'm in the masjid. Where are these people? That is worse to Allah. And it might be that the pride of a pious person is more destructive than the sin of the sinner. And so, Luqman is saying to my son, if alhamdulillah you take my advice and you achieve success and you excel and you become successful in the dunya, then don't ever be that person. And he says, don't turn your cheek away from people. Meaning, when you speak to people, you make them feel lesser than you. You make people feel like, oh, you are on a different daraja. Don't turn your cheek from people. And don't walk on the earth in the way that people feel like you are superior. And it might be you rev your car in a way that makes people feel like your car is superior. God, Allah does not love anyone who out of conceit acts in a boastful manner. وَقْصِدْ فِي مَشْيِكَ And walk moderately. وَغْدُدْ مِنْ سَوْتِكَ And speak nicely and moderately. Lower your voice. إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ لَصَوْتُ الْخَمِيرِ And he says, and verily the thing that Allah hates the most is people like the braying of the donkey. He speaks to be heard. His speaking is only there so that people may hear him. And so these basic advice, if we were to summarize it, he says, your first priority is worship Allah alone. If that is where you're struggling, start there. Then make salah. Focus on your five. Don't worry about anything else. Don't worry about the ummah. Just make your five salahs on time. If you get that five salahs on time, then be on the side of trying to do good. Encourage a little bit better, a little bit better. And alhamdulillah, if you get all the basics sorted, the basics of your life is sorted, your money is sorted, alhamdulillah, I'm not doing haram, I'm not doing major sins, I'm a functioning Muslim citizen, I'm an ummati that I've got my bleep in order, right? Then you need to go out and fix the ummah. Turn and defend the ummah. Speak out against evil. And then be sabr. Don't be like the person who joins the masjid committee and then when it becomes difficult because I have a meeting, I don't have time for this. No. You took on the amana. You stand for it. It's easy to be pious when things are easy. It's hard to be pious when things are difficult. That's where we need you, to be patient. And alhamdulillah, if you've gone through all of that, always remain humble. Always remember that while you are on this journey, maybe you are in the lead, there are people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give the tawfiq He gave to you. Allah blessed you by being able to make your salah on time. Not you. It wasn't your doing. There are others who are also trying. There are others who are also struggling with their hijab, struggling with their salah. Don't make them feel inferior. Your job isn't to get to the finishing line. Our job is to let all of us get to the finishing line. May Allah grant all of us to get to Jannah al-Firdaus together. Ameen. Alhamdulillah, just one announcement. We will have our Hajj and Umrah course, a half-day course. So for those who just summarize everything from 8:30 to 2 o'clock with Dhuhr time on Sunday, the 5th, this is this Sunday, inshallah. And alhamdulillah, we are releasing our Hajj and Umrah guide. So mashallah, a brand new publication. This is like your handbook for the Hajjis. So if anyone going on Hajj, a lovely present to buy somebody. That, you know, when they're in Tawaf, when they're on Arafah, what is that dua I need to recite? This is that book. It's a how-to-do guide in terms of your Hajj and Umrah. So, inshallah, if anyone is interested, you can speak to us. And it is being launched today or tomorrow, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad wa ala sahbihi sallam ul-salim. Alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh.